So do you want to start with a little introduction?
Kid Jordan, saxophone.
And you're here talking with me because you have a new live record out that you recorded with Hamid Drake.
Hamid Drake, right.
Yeah, at Piety Street Studios back in 2011. It's called A Night in November. How long have you two guys been playing together?
Oh, Lord. I've been playing with Drake for years in Chicago at the Velvet Lounge. And New York, Drake came up under Fred Anderson, a terrific saxophone player, and AACM player. So I was been dealing with them. I never was in AACM, but I was dealing with all the AACM players because I was here in New Orleans and they were in Chicago. But Alvin Fielder moved to Jackson, Mississippi. He was with them, and we started playing together. And I played with Moo Hall. Like I said, Moo Hall and Fred and everybody, probably the majority of them in the ACM. But by the fact that I was here and they had the organization in Chicago, I didn't join it because it didn't make sense. And they said, you know, why you won't join and you're in New Orleans and, you know, we're in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But Hamid Drake goes back a long time with me. Mm-hmm. I love playing with him. But he wanted to, that's the first duet album that I made. Because I don't like playing duet.
Why is that?
Especially with drummers. Because I play off the sound of the instruments that I play on. See, a lot of people play jazz based upon stuff they practice, but I play jazz based upon what I hear. I'm one of the, I'm calling myself an improviser. And if you practice on stuff for 3 years and play, I've been with people who played solos. I've been on a bandstand with them and they play the same solos for 3, 4, 5 years. I used to tell them that solo got grandchildren now. But every time I play, I'm going to New York tonight. I don't know what I'm going to play.
Is it harder when you're playing without any other melodic instruments, with just the drummer?
Yes, for me it is, because I play off the melody and the harmony. And with the drummers, the rhythm is there, but then I'm constantly trying to hear the... If you listen to that drum, at certain points you can hear me playing with the drum. In fact, when we started that session, we had... But we had tuned up that evening, and some kind of way, they changed the tuning to Hamid's drums. They had to move them or something. And when I got back there that night, the tuning was changed. So I had to immediately, I hadn't planned to play alto on that session at all. I went to my car and got my alto.
Do you find yourself focusing more on the rhythmic aspect of your playing when you're duetting with a drummer?
Not really.
No?
Because I've got my, well, I try to play some of the rhythm, but I play off my own rhythm. And sound, the main thing with me is sound when I'm improvising. Rhythm is all right, but I don't concentrate on rhythm. Well, the drummers play. Now, sometimes we get into some things where we may answer one another. But that's the only duet I ever did with a drummer.
Yeah. Where did you guys record this record? It was right here in town, right?
We recorded at Piety Street Recording Company. And they also had an audience there. They set the audience up, and we played for the audience. Piety Street was run by Mark Bingham, an old avant-garde friend of mine. Mark Bingham is an old radical. We did stuff years ago, 30 years ago, when people thought we were crazy.
And how did the performance go? It must have gone well, I suppose, if you guys are releasing a record.
Well, I enjoyed it. We went out and started playing. And I had to find the keys and try to play off the rhythm and try to follow. I enjoyed it. I didn't. In fact, I was skeptical about it because that was my first one. But I think it came off all right. But after you put it down, it's good or bad. What else if they put it out? In fact, I've never been satisfied with anything I've done because you can always do something better. But it's in the moment. And if it's in the moment, you can... See, that's why a whole lot of people can sit down and practice with the tapes and wait for the best solos or the best arrangement of this. But this, you get what you got. Mm-hmm. That's it. One tape.
How do you describe the style of music that you guys play? What do you call it?
Oh, just improvised music. I don't have a style for it. It's just improvised. Some people call it avant-garde. People call it all kinds of things. But it's improvised music. It's music in the moment. And if you was to give me $10 billion and say play some of the same stuff you played, play it just like that, I mean, I can't do it.
You've also been known for many years as a jazz educator. I know you're not teaching in school anymore, but are you involved in education anymore?
Not recently. I've did that for 40 some years, so it's time to give that up. All those who didn't get nothing, you know, It's just they got another kind of scene. They got people. Well, the thing about it, I used to try to teach people where they could get to themselves. Give them enough technique and put them in the right direction where they can get to themselves. But nowadays, people want to, you know, they don't seem to want to deal with that. They want to deal with what's popular and what's going on. And see, I never played music for a living. I always had a job, so I could do what I wanted to do. But when you play music for a living, you got to do this. You got to, you know, do what people want you to do. And that's the reason always. That's why I got an education. That's why I had a job, to play what I want to play. I didn't get an education and have a job to be subject to playing of what somebody wanted me to do. Now, I played in all kinds of bands in my lifetime. But other than that, they were in bands. That was my band. I played in other people's things, or shows or whatever was going on. But when I got to do what I wanted to do with my band, I did what I wanted to do. And that's why I did it like that, to be able to do what I wanted to do.
Is it satisfying watching all your students come up over the years? I mean, it seems like you've taught a lot of great people around this town.
Well, in one way it is, and one way it's another. I mean, you take the good with the bad. Some of them, I won't even say I taught them, and some others. In fact, I don't claim nobody, really. I don't claim nobody. You know, I look at them, keep on, they develop. The majority of them haven't developed out of the niche that I would hope that some of them would. Because the way I went with them, I taught them in a way where they could keep developing. If they heard something they wanted to do, they could do it. But the majority of them have succumbed to being popular or doing this or whatever. But this is like love. Music is just like love. I've seen people hugged up with women that I would have to be dead before I put my arm around. I mean, and that's the way it is. You know, you have to choose what you want. You can't choose what I want or what your daddy or what somebody want. Because in the final analysis, when you make the commitment, you have to do what you want to do. And some of them, I know a lot of people don't ever get to what they want to do. They always get to what somebody else was doing. I knew when I went to college, they had people, they had two dudes in school that could play every solo that Charlie Parker played. Even could play the scratches in the records. You know, ever saw them big old, them big old records? For 7 days, they could play the scratches in a record. One of them is 80-something years old now. He's still living. He's not even playing. He hasn't touched his horn in 20 years. And I used to be scuffling trying to play some of that. And he could pick up his horn and play it at night. Say, oh, man, but he didn't never get no further than Charlie Parker. And believe me, he and Cannonball stretched it out. When I first heard Cannonball, he was just like that too. But Cannonball did get into another kind of thing by the way he kept playing. But as far as I'm concerned, when they was doing that, I was trying to hear something then. I was trying to hear something different then, because I knew I wasn't going to be no Charlie Parker. I love Charlie Parker, but I knew I wasn't going to be no Charlie Parker, so I was trying to do something different then.
How often do you manage to perform nowadays? I know you mentioned having been on tour in Europe not too long ago.
I was in Europe 3 weeks ago. I was over there for 2 weeks. And this week I'm in New York, this weekend. I go to New York and Cleveland, Philadelphia. I go to different places. In fact, I turn down a whole lot of gigs. Guess I don't want to play with them.
It must be nice to have that luxury at this point in your
career. Well, I've worked for 40 years. I taught school for 40-some years. If I don't ever play a gig to make money, it ain't gonna change one way or the way with me. I don't have to. Somebody called me and said, I got so-and-so-and-so. If it's somebody I don't want to play with, say, no, man, I'm not going to make it. If it's somebody I want to play with, they may not offer me nothing. I may go play with them if I want to play with them.
Yeah. So what other recording projects have you worked on recently?
Oh, man. I got a recording out now that I never heard. They sent one down here. They got two things coming out from Europe. I got records that I recorded I never heard. I got a couple of nights I never heard. that's the past. That's it. And I happen to see these two. I say, all right, let me bring this and give them to you. But other than that, after the recording session is over, I'm going to new territory. You know, I don't worry about that because I ain't trying to be no star. I'm not going to ever be a star. Train wasn't trying to be a star. He practiced himself in a stardom.
So then what's the next new territory for you?
Well, I'm be in New York tomorrow night. That's new territory. Whenever I get another gig, I'm playing with Cass. Hamid will probably be there. I know William Parker's there. I don't know who else is then. I like to be surprised to see, because they try to get people who's on the same level, people who hear one another, you know, and we just have fun. Let's have fun. Because we're not going to, if we played last week, we're not going to play the same thing we did last week, I know.
Well, the record's called A Night in November, Kid Jordan and Hamid Drake.
Oh. I just called the record with Hamid, A Night in November.
Yeah, that's the name, yes.
A Night in November. That's good.
Yeah.
I know that's the name, but I don't worry about names. I don't know the name.
Well, you'll learn something today then.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan, for coming in and talking with me.
Good.